Well, dear Christian friends, may God open our eyes and our ears to his message of life. Well, in our gospel lesson this morning, the first thing Jesus does after his baptism, and then he is tempted in the desert, and he began to preach in the whole area around of Galilee, where he grew up, and we're told he was praised for his teaching. The expectations then are heightened when he comes to Nazareth, where he had grown up. The homeboy comes home to preach. You can only imagine that the synagogue was filled that morning with everybody from the town. We've already heard about the good things he's doing in other towns, and now we get to hear Jesus, our own son of the congregation. And so Jesus stands before them, and we're told the attendant hands him the scroll Isaiah, and so he quotes from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, the people were all excited because this scripture that he read from was a scripture that was associated with the Messiah. The Messiah would come, he would rebuild the city and the ruins, he would cast off the oppressors, he would bring the wealth of the nations back into Israel, he would make them great again and reestablish the kingdom of David. And so that was their expectations. And so when Jesus said, "And he'll preach good news to the poor," they thought, "We're poor. In fact, it's the Romans who are making us poor. The taxation of the oppressive government has made us poor. They're sapping the wealth of our nation. And he's going to set the oppressed free." And they said, "We're oppressed. We're oppressed by the Romans." And Jesus now is saying he's going to set the oppressed free. Why, certainly he's going to cast off the Romans. We're going to be set free again. But obviously that's not what Jesus meant when he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," because that's not what happened. So just what does it mean for Jesus to say, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing"? Well, for one thing, Jesus came to condemn the heresy of a prosperity gospel. Jesus does not say, "Blessed are the rich because you have God's favor." No, Jesus says, "I come to bring good news to the poor." And later in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus teaches us throughout his Sermon on the Mount and gives us that introduction here where wealth is actually a hindrance to the kingdom of God. Because wealth gets in our way often of trusting in God and relying on God. Because once we have wealth, and we've got that money in the bank, we say, "Well, that I can trust. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I have money in the bank to take care of me." And so often that leads us not to trust in God. You know, I've seen that truth displayed so many times when I've gone to third world countries, and there where people literally depend on God day by day to get by, and you say, "What tremendous faith these people have, who have so very little, and yet they trust in God to take care of them." And so it is that Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. And I come to bring good news to the poor," that God cares for the poor as much as he does the rich. It doesn't mean if you're poor that somehow God no longer cares for you. No, rich or poor, black or white, young or old, we are God's and he loves us. And so this text, I think, sometimes challenges us in Orange County. We certainly live in the richest county, one of the richest places in the world. And it's so easy for us, and we have to listen to those words of Jesus. It's so easy for us to rely on wealth rather than on God, and to realize Jesus is our greatest blessing, not our wealth. We have maybe gotten our wealth because we've earned it. We've worked hard for an education. We've worked long hours, but we don't earn salvation. We don't earn God's grace. We don't earn God's love. It's a gift that God gives to us. And those are gifts given to people who see themselves as poor. That is, poor sinners are the ones who receive the grace of God. And so we may be wealth monetarily, but we're poor, every one of us, when we stand before God. Each one of us has to simply ask, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when we see that we are poor as we stand before God, Jesus brings good news to the poor. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Not because you're so good, but because I am so good. Because God is so gracious, we are forgiven. And so those words of Jesus can speak to each and every one of us, regardless of what our financial background is. We are all poor sinners who need to stand before God and say, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. And so Jesus brings good news to the poor. Jesus goes on to say that he comes to release the captives, proclaim release to the captives. And you know, I've seen that so many times in the Kairos prison ministry, that even though the people are still behind bars during that ministry, many of them are released from their past sins. They're released from guilt. They're released from anger and the desire for revenge. They're released from all past in Jesus Christ, because they are open to his grace and his mercy. They're willing to accept God's word that their sins are forgiven, and even though they may still be behind prison walls, there is a newfound freedom that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see how Jesus can proclaim release to the captives, and he can proclaim release to us who aren't behind walls, because just because you're not behind a wall doesn't mean you're not captive to something. You may be addicted to alcohol or drugs. You may be harboring bitterness or resentment that you haven't been able to let go, that harbors in your heart. You know, you may be burdened by some past sin that you just can't let go. And Jesus says, I come to set the captives free, to free you from any of those things in the past. And so if you are feeling held captive to those things, Jesus says, I proclaim to you, I can release you from those things of your past. I can release you from whatever holds you down, your anger, your guilt, your shame, that you may know forgiveness and life in my name. Jesus goes on to say, I give sight to the blind. And so it was that Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, and he healed other blind people. And then he healed the lame and lepers and others. And Jesus continues to do that today. You know, I've been miraculously healed as a child. My wife, during a pregnancy, miraculously healed. Numerous stories of people in the congregation where you've seen God's healing hand. And so Jesus comes and he says, I come with healing. And if he doesn't heal us in this life, he will heal us in the resurrection. And that's the ultimate healing of Jesus, when he promises us we will be raised, our bodies will be raised, immortal and imperishable. So whatever it is that weighs us down now will be a thing of the past. So he not only brings sight to the blind, but he brings healing of every nature, and eventually he brings the total healing of our bodies in the resurrection from the dead. And finally in our text, Jesus says he comes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, one of those things in the Old Testament, the year of the Lord's favor, was the year of Jubilee. And it was every 50 years that the year of Jubilee came. And in the year of Jubilee, if you owed any money, you were to be forgiven the debt. And if you had sold your family property in order to get by, that property was to be returned to the family. And it was so that people who had experienced difficulties in their lives, every 50 years, they would be freed and would be able to start over again. And so Jesus now says, I come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to you, except I'm not going to restore your ancestral property to you. I'm going to give you the promise of eternal life. I'm going to give you the promised land of heaven that will be yours. And that is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Much greater jubilee than just being forgiven a financial debt. So although Jesus did not fulfill this text of Isaiah in the way the people had anticipated, by casting off the Romans, by giving them economic freedoms and newness of life, Jesus did come and he fulfilled it by giving them a better life, a spiritual life, a hope of eternal life. And so Jesus comes to us, poor sinners, to give us grace. He comes to us when we're captive to sin to give us forgiveness. He comes to us when we are burdened and he heals us. And eventually he gives us the hope and promise of eternal life. You know, many centuries I think the church preached fear of God, but now we have that word of God in the hymn, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." So in the season of Epiphany, once again, Jesus reveals to us he is the Messiah. He is the one who brings forgiveness and freedom and the hope and promise of everlasting life. May you know that you are poor in his sight, but that he brings good news to you, good news of life now and into eternity. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, help us hear the good news that you have to bring to us. Good news of your love and your grace and your mercy. And help us rejoice this day that you have brought good news to us. In Jesus' name, amen.